Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and the 4th verse, if you will. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Well, once again, a very pleasant good morning to you, those who are with us here in the auditorium. We're so glad to see you here. Hope to see you back. As was mentioned, Brother Troy and our welcome at our upcoming Vacation Bible School starts tonight. Colors of the Bible, looking forward to that study. And those of you who are listening by way of radio, we would love to invite you as well. If you can come out, we would love to see you, especially at our Vacation Bible School, but any service that we have here at the Arlington Church of Christ, 2500 Faulkner Springs Road. We would just be delighted, as always, to see you here. I'm going to pick on Troy, because I love Troy to death, and I hope he knows that. Troy, I learned something. See, sometimes you straight man. Troy, I learned something today. Do you know why Native Americans were here in this country first? They had reservations. And we'd love to reserve you a seat tonight at our Vacation Bible School. How's that for a cheesy tie-in? Okay, that's all I get. Sorry. Let's get to our lesson at hand. I was assigned this topic a few months ago. You know, we do hay here helping edify youth, and we are blessed to be one of the host congregations of that. Coffee County and Cannon County, they do a program called TABS, Teenage Bible Study, and it's similar to our hay. And the culminating meeting in May is up at Short Mountain Bible Camp. They call it Hay TABS. They just combine the two, and the whole theme was, do I need to be renewed? And I guess they ran out of speakers because they asked me to come speak. And I just love this lesson, and I wanted to share it with you as well, because it is a question that serves as our topic that every one of us as a Christian should ask themselves on a regular basis. Do I need to be renewed? Now, in this lesson, I am talking to those of us who are Christians. And if you're not a Christian, I want to pause our lesson here and invite you to make up your mind to become a Christian by hearing the gospel, believing that it's true, repenting of your sins, turning away from sin, turning to God, making a confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon that confession being baptized, fully immersed under the water into Christ, then rise to walk in a newness of life. If you're not a Christian, or if you have not been baptized for the right reasons, dear friend, for the remission of your sins is the only right reason, I want to encourage you to become a Christian today, and then use this lesson to motivate you. And then, dear Christian friend, I want you to think about this question. Do I need to be renewed? Do I need to be renewed? I know in a group such as this, there are people in this, not only in the auditorium, but listening by way of radio, who have been a Christian for less than a year. And I know there are some people, no doubt, who have been Christians well into a number of decades of being a Christian. Yet it is still a question you and I need to answer. Do I need to be renewed? And dear friends, this is not a laughing matter. If you need to be renewed, we all sin, come short of the glory of God. We all have mistakes in our lives, and we repent of those. You shouldn't feel ashamed if you need to be renewed. I believe there is a stigma in the Lord's church of wanting to make their lives right. Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to laugh at you if you say, I have made mistakes. In fact, we'll commend you not for making the mistakes, but for admitting to them. Dear friends, once a renewal has taken place, you should not return to the life you just led. Because if you were dealing with whatever the problem was, say it's gambling or worshiping a golden idol that you have on your coffee table, if you are renewed, if you repent of those sins and go back home, and as soon as you walk in, as you bow down to that idol once again, then you weren't really renewed. You didn't really repent. See, repentance is changing from the wickedness, turning back to God. I want us to look at three things that might help you and I figure out if we need to be renewed. And the first one, I want to answer a simple question. Can my fire burn out? Now, I'm not talking about a physical flame, but the essence of saying, I'm on fire for the Lord. I am on fire. You know, when you become a Christian, come out of that water, you go, I can just take on the world. I can convert everybody on planet Earth, no problem ask. And then discouragement from the world will settle in. We learn this from the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. We learn that the world's going to try to choke the seed out. Well, dear friends, I tell you what, number one, the Bible says at times my fire can burn out. Read with me again this passage that Paul writes to the church at Galatia. He says, Christ has become of no effect to you, whosoever of you are trying to be justified by the law. You're no longer trying to live for Christ. You're not trying to go back to some other old law that's no longer in effect. He says, you are fallen from grace. This one verse single-handedly disproves the false religious notion that once saved means you're always saved. See, people in the religious world, so-called, want you to think that, well, once I'm saved, nothing can ever happen to me. Well, that's not what this Bible says, because notice here, and yours says the same thing, no doubt. Here's your grammar lesson. Paul doesn't say you might fall from grace. You are fallen from grace. So when Paul writes this, the church of Galatia, somewhere around 60 AD, they had already fallen away. Now they were living their lives as if all is well, but in God's standing, they're no longer in a harmonious relationship. He doesn't say you might fall from grace. You better be careful. He says you've already done it. You have already fallen from grace, fallen from where you are. Go with me to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 5. I want you to know what Paul wrote to the, or not what Paul, what John wrote that Jesus said to the church at Ephesus. You know, we have the Ephesian letter that Paul writes very eloquently, 6 chapters. They get another letter. They're one of the 7 churches of Asia Minor. In fact, they were the port city. And so it was very important they were the first church mentioned, because John, as he writes it in Patmos, sends it on over to Ephesus. Notice here verse 5 of chapter 2. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. He says you need to think back to how good life was when you were faithful. He says, once again, you are fallen. The church at Ephesus at one time was doing things biblically. They were one time doing things scripturally. And now something has happened. They have fallen from that grace. And Paul or John records this somewhere about 90 AD in that ballpark. So about 30 years have gone since Paul wrote them the letter, and they have fallen from grace. So the Bible tells me that people can fall. And if people can fall, dear friends, that necessitates they must need to be renewed. But I tell you, not only that, hymns that we sing also indicate that we can. One that we sing at youth events, I don't think it's in our songbook, but we might ought to put it in there, is called Light the Fire. It's a wonderful song called Light the Fire in My Heart. Fan the flame and make it whole. As Christians, we are on fire for the Lord. As I mentioned, thinking on, you could take on the whole world. But I love the way that that song ends. The end of the refrain says, light the fire in my heart again. Since the song ends with the word again, that tells me that the flame may not be burning as bright as it used to be burning. So that means that we need to be renewed. What about one? I know this one's in our songbook. We sing it on a regular basis. Revive us again. Revive means restore to life. But what is it? Revive us again. That means we constantly need encouragement and strength to stay on the straight and narrow. We need a new breath of life breathed into us every now and then. Can my fire go out as a Christian? You better believe it. Can it be relit? You better believe it can. It's not a, once your fire goes out, you're kind of lost. We relight it again. And I tell you, one of the ways it lights my fire, I think about Christians as coals. And the more coals you get together, the hotter the flame burns, doesn't it? And if you pull a coal out from the fire, it'll continue to burn for a little bit, and it'll just burn away. You put it right back in with the rest of the flame or the coals, and what? It just burns like it never left. That's how Christians are, dear friends. Number one, can my fire go out? It can. So then number two, how do I even begin to tell if I need to be renewed? That's what we're talking about, right? How to be, or do you need to be renewed? Well, obviously, there are probably some indicator signs. You know, it's like on your car dash. You may be aware of this, of course. There's a whole bunch of little lights that if they start blinking, that's going to indicate that your tire pressure's low, that you're running out of gas, you're running out of this or that, your battery's about to die. We have all these indicators that warn you before impending danger happens. So you heed the warning. Well, I have some indicators as well that you might need to be renewed. Your number one is you no longer read your Bible. You just no longer read it. We are blessed at a time in history where the Bible is so readily available. So much so that I can walk into the Dollar Tree and I can buy a Bible for $1.25 plus tax. You can't buy a whole lot of quality things for $1.25 plus tax, I'll tell you right now. There are people throughout recorded history that would have given everything they own to actually have a physical copy of God's Word. Thanks to the printing press and other advancements in technology, now Bibles are everywhere. They're ubiquitous. And since they're more prevalent than ever, I find it so saddening that it seems like God's Word is read less now than it ever has been, and yet it's everywhere. Dear friends, reading your Bible is a lifeline to God's commands. Today, God does not miraculously speak to us like He did the prophets of the Old Testament or even the writers of the New Testament. God doesn't just speak to you and I miraculously, but He does speak to us through His Word. You read stuff through here and you realize, like we were just in Revelation 2, that if I'm not faithful, I need to repent. See, that's God speaking to me through His commands, but He speaks to all of us through His commands. And since that is your lifeline, why in the world would you cut yourself off from that lifeline? I found this article. It's simply titled The Diary of a Bible in an old publication. I wanted to read it to you. And I think this kind of sums up our topic. You don't read your Bible. It's The Diary of a Bible. It says January 10th. I've been resting for a week. The first few nights of the new year, the owner read me regularly, but now has forgotten me already, I guess. February 7th, it's cleanup time. I was dusted with the other things, then put right back on the shelf. February 9th, owner used me for a short time after dinner, looking up a few references. I actually went to Bible school today. March 6th, cleanup, dusted again. I've been in the hall since my trip to Bible class last month. March 30th, it was a busy day. Owner had young people's meeting and had to look up references. Had an awful time finding them, but they were there all the time. No entries for April. May 3rd says, in Grandma's lap again this afternoon. She spent most of the time reading 1 Corinthians 13 and also the last four verses of that 15th chapter. May 7, 8, and 9, in Grandma's lap again. Spent most of her time reading, and sometimes she just talks to me. It's so comfortable there. May 10th, Grandma's gone. Back to the same old place. At least she did kiss me goodbye before she left. July 3rd, had a few four-leaf clovers stuck in between my pages. July 4th, packed in a suitcase with clothes and other items. Off on vacation, I guess. July 7th, still in suitcase. July 10th, still in suitcase, but everything else is taken out. July 15th, home again in my same old place. Quite a nice journey, they say, but I don't see why. August 1st, rather stuffy and hot. Now I have two magazines and a novel placed on top of me. September 10th, used by Mary a few times today. She was writing a letter to a friend whose brother had died and wanted to find some appropriate verses. September 23rd, new mail order catalog came today. Certainly getting a lot of attention, more than I ever received. October 10th, wish someone would take these stinking four-leaf clovers out of me. They have been here for 5 months now. They tickle me. They're so dry and flaky. November 29th, or October 10th, yeah. November 29th, Thanksgiving season. I was taken to church last Sunday, December 31st, end of another year. Not much interesting for me, maybe next year. Isn't that sad? And I'd say that that's very typical. In fact, that might be a little more generous than some people would want to afford their Bible. They just don't use the Bible. And I'm reminded of an old song you may have heard on the radio called Dust on the Bible, Dust on the Holy Word. And it tells the story of friends going to a neighbor's house, and they asked if they could find a Bible. And they brought out a Bible and they said, oh, what a shame, not a fingerprint was on it. It was covered in dust and they couldn't even see a fingerprint where they went to grab it. Do you need to be renewed? Well, if you're no longer reading your Bible, that might be a good indicator sign. You know, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, giving all diligence, translated as study. Study, that's a command. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to know how to properly apply the Bible? You start reading the Bible. And the more you read it, the easier it gets to apply and understand. But you got to read it. And I tell you what, I love this one. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Read that one with me. It may be one of my favorite things Paul tells Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 15. Now keep in mind, Paul is not with Timothy. In fact, Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, the city we talked about a moment ago. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, not 2 Timothy. I knew that was wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, till I come, he's not there yet, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He says, Timothy, you want to know how you behave yourself? You keep reading God's word. You want to know what you're supposed to do? You keep reading God's word. So number one, you might need to be renewed if you don't read your Bible like you did. I'm going to tell you now, if the only time you open God's word is when you're in this building, that might be your sign. Number two, you might need to be renewed if you don't pray like you used to. You know, the Bible is God's written lifeline to mankind. Prayer is my lifeline to God's ear. It's when I can bend God's ear, if you will, with my pleas and petitions. Of course, asking all things within His will, knowing He ultimately answers. But why in the world would I cut myself off from talking to God? Yet so many people do because they don't pray like they should. See, God wants to hear from you even more than when things are just going bad. See, that's normally when people call, right? Somebody's been in a car wreck. Somebody's had this. Somebody's had that. And then that's when they pray. God wants to hear from you when you're having a perfect day where nothing went wrong. And that's a day to thank Him. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean a 24-hour constant prayer. That's about near impossible. He means having a prayer life. One where you constantly are in prayer to God. You don't just pray once a day or twice a day. But when something comes up, you immediately turn and pray to God. So if you're not praying like you used to do, that might be your sign. What about this one? You're not singing like you used to do. You're just not singing. Do you just read the words? Oh yeah, you can read, come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. That is such a happy song. It talks about rejoicing and singing God's praises. And yet some people just, they're not happy. Galatians 6, 7, 8 says, you will reap what you sow. Sow good things, reap good things. Do you just read the words though? I love songs. I don't know if you know that about me. I love hymns. New ones, old ones. I like the ones that are scriptural. The ones that aren't, I don't really care for. But the good ones I like. And I like knowing as much about that hymn as I can. You know, there are a lot of songs that we sing that are taken directly from Scripture. And I love that because then I can go read, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Psalm 18 in verse 3. I can read that. I know where the author got that. And then every now and then I'll come across one that maybe I didn't realize, and I'll do some research. For instance, I love knowing the history. It helps me understand. You know, we sing the song, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War. You know that song, you nod yes. It's in our songbook. It's written in a march time. I don't know if you noticed that or not. You literally, marching unto war. I find that interesting. That song was penned in 1865. You know what we were doing in 1865? We were fighting ourselves. That's the war between the states, the Civil War. I wonder what was on their minds, and yet they want to turn that biblical. What about this one? I love Sing to Me of Heaven. And I really love that. I believe it's that second verse, maybe third, don't quote me. It has the word comrade in it. You just don't use comrades in common language, you know, everyday speeches. I don't. Sing to Me of Heaven was written in 1914. Guess what we were doing in 1914? We were once again, we hadn't joined the First World War yet. But to me, when I learn these things, and it makes me want to sing these songs even more. Because today I am in war as a Christian against sin. But I tell you what, if you don't sing like you used to, if you're just mouthing the words. Now, I'm not saying you have to be the world's best singer. God doesn't command that. He just commands you to sing a joyful noise. We sing for God, not for men's praise. Let's move on. Tell you what, if you no longer think about Christ like you once did, you might need to be renewed. You remember, there was a time when all you thought about was Jesus. That was it. All the time. You thought about Him in the morning. You thanked Him for that wonderful night's worth of rest you got. And you looked forward to the day where all day long where you could serve Him. And now it's gotten to the point where He barely occupies your thoughts even in church. I know that happens to some people. They come here where their sole intention should be to worship God. And it seems like they think about everything but God when they're in the church building. Think about one of the songs we sing, Jesus in the morning. Jesus at the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Is that you? But this one, all day long of Jesus I am singing. He my song of joy shall ever be. All the while He keeps my heart bells ringing. He, for His love is everything to me. He's my King. Is that you or not? You know, Solomon says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If all the time you're thinking about Christ and what He did, then that's going to lead you to live a Christ-like life. But if you never think about Christ, then you wonder why you're not doing faithful things. Well, probably because you took Him out of your life. So if you don't think about Christ like you used to, that might be your sign. Here's your last indicator. We'll move on. Now, I know here we don't have Sunday night, but we do have two services. We have a Sunday night service tonight. If you can't remember either the last time you went to the 9 o'clock worship service or the Wednesday night Bible study or the Sunday night of a gospel meeting or the Sunday night of our vacation Bible school, if you can't remember the last time you picked up these services, that might be a sign. How many times do we miss our second Sunday service, Sunday school, midweek, VBS? We're blessed in an area in Warren County alone, 45 faithful congregations, and most of them do multiple events a year. I know, I spoke at three different events last week alone, plus here. It's a great opportunity to go and worship God on a almost daily basis. Everyone else is at home, or everyone else is attending, and you're just sitting home, and I've got there scrolling effortlessly. If you're on your phone, you could be flipping your channels, just flip, 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 flip. That might be your sign. You know, attendance is required of God, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. God commands my attendance. God commands it of me. If I want to please Him, I'm going to come, even if I'm tired. Even if I haven't had the best day. I'm going to say this. This wasn't in my notes, but I know somebody who was here this morning who just worked a 12-hour shift at the hospital and came and sat through our service so they didn't miss church. You want to talk about tired? I know that's tired. If they can do it, so can I. I've been places where I knew people were sick, and they just, not like contagious sick, but just battling illnesses that they chronic, and they'd just go. People, that way, it was a difficult struggle for them to come to worship, and they came. If they can come, I can. If I'm not attending the way I used to, that's probably my sign. Here's your good one. If you just dread going to church, if you dread being involved with things relating to God, it's probably your sign. That means you no longer have a care for God. You've got a heart problem. So there's your signs. Let's close it out here, number 3. Because here's what we've been waiting for, right? Maybe you've answered the question by now, do I need to be renewed? Simple, yes or no. So how do I fix that? I'm going to put these up here right now. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse number 5. We've already been there once. Let's go back again to the church at Ephesus. And what I love about this passage is Paul just lays it out. Or not Paul, I keep saying Paul. John records Jesus laying it out. Notice he says, remember, number one, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. He says, you used to be in a good standing and now you're not. So you got to remember first off what it was like to be there. Because if you fall, you got to notice something's different. And then number two, hang in that verse, keep going. And repent. The two R's. I've got to remember and I've got to repent. Repentance, a change in thought that results in a change in action. Starts in the mind, works its way through the body. I repent. I'm going to change the way I am going. And as we mentioned, since it is a change, that means I'm not going to go back and do the same wicked stuff. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 8, if you will, and notice the story of Simon the sorcerer. He became a Christian, and then not too long after he became a Christian, almost as it were immediately, he fell back away. And he's not told to become a Christian again. Notice he is told to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. We've already hit repent, but notice. And pray God, if perhaps a thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He needs to repent, he needs to pray. Pray for God's forgiveness. The wonderful thing, 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful, just, and he will forgive us of our sins. Hang with me in the book of Acts, 26 chapter and verse number 20. There are certain things that we must do. Notice as Paul, for the second time, recounts his conversion, third time recorded in Acts, he says, and showed first to them at Damascus and all Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. So you've got to work. Doing what? Well, you got to study. We've already mentioned that one. Study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. I've got to be ready to preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. When they want it, when they don't. In season, out of season. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in the grace, number one, and in the knowledge, number two, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then finally, 1 John 1, verse 7, I must walk in the light as he is in the light. That means Jesus left me a path to follow. I must follow in that light. And in doing so, I have fellowship with the Father, and his blood continues to cleanse me of my sins. So how to be renewed? I got to remember where I was. I need to be willing to change my ways that made me fall from where I was. I need to repent. I need to pray unto God, and I must work by studying, preaching. And that means not just preaching in the pulpit. That's teaching, preaching, growing in grace, knowledge, and walking in the light. I've got five simple questions that close out this lesson. I think you'll see where this is going. Number one, do you need to be renewed? That's a really simple question. I'll even tell you it's a really straightforward answer. It's either yes or no. There's not a maybe. There's not an asterisk, see the fine print. It's either yes or no. I tell you, I knew a lady who called me one time in tears. I won't get into the story, but she had was debating whether or not she needed to make her life right for 7 years. And she said, what do I think? I said, 7 years is too long to be worrying about this. Make your life right. She did. Do you need to be renewed? It's a simple question. Do you need to be renewed? Question number two. I cannot answer this for you, although I sure wish I did. I wish I could just answer that for everybody. I would just take a world phone book and I would start in the A's and we'd go to the Z's. And I would be obedient for everyone. But I can't. Your husband, your wife, your parents, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor. Nobody can be faithful, be renewed for you, but you can. So you must answer for yourself. Question number three. Do you need to be renewed? Why not be renewed today, right now, here, through prayer? We're going to sing this invitation song to encourage you to be renewed. Question number four, do you need to be renewed? If you're not a Christian, you can become a new creature in Christ today. We're going to sing this invitation song to encourage you to become a Christian. I've got one final question. You want to guess what it is? Do you need to be renewed? Why not make that answer be known?